Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Guess what?
That was try time. It was a difficult one to catch. It's just an instinct above his head. But that is try time.
Are we recording?
We just started recording at the moment when it looked like Chris Cook could have won a famous victory for Bath in Toulon. Should we just keep this game bubbling along as we start the podcast?
Yeah, seven minutes to go.
7 minutes to go in the rearranged European Champions Cup match. We've watched the Premiership Rugby and Pro 12 Rugby over the weekend. We've got plenty to talk about, but get that theme tune lined up, JB. Pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Hello, Egg Chasers, and welcome to another Egg Chasers Rugby podcast. I'm Tim, that is Phil.
Hi, Tim.
And that is JB.
Hello, Tim.
We don't take ourselves or the game of rugby too seriously, but we love the game of rugby, and that's why we're going to jabber on about it for a little while. You can find us on Acast, you can listen on iTunes, and there's some brilliant reviews been left there as well, which we really appreciate. And you can find us on Twitter and chat with us through the week at Rugby Podcast is where you can find us. This week, we're going to be talking about Eddie Jones's first England squad and what changes we would make to his 32-man or 33-man EPS squad. Also, the other Six Nations, what big decisions have their coaches got to make? And then looking back at all the rugby over the weekend. And like we say, there's currently 6 minutes left and Stephen Armitage at the back of a rolling maul.
It's ominous, isn't it?
It is looking ominous.
It's got heartbreak written all over it.
It has, hasn't it?
No, 10 metres out.
That'll do.
That's it.
That'll do.
Fernandez Lobbe running backwards. Banners. Hey, this is more like it from Bath, isn't it? Whatever the outcome.
Oh, scumbag!
This is more like it from Bath, and they give away a penalty that will probably lose in the game.
That's like our curse on Saracens last week, Tim.
Oh, well, yeah. The Borg.
I don't know. I can't see them losing a game.
I couldn't see them losing a game.
1 week later.
They lose a game.
Bang.
Yeah.
Curse of the commentator.
Yes, indeed. Let's start with the Premiership.
Well, should we start with the Borg losing?
The Borg, they're human.
I'm still not sure we can confirm whether they're human or not.
I mean, I think what you mean is they're made with some human parts. But ultimately, the end product is not human.
Like Robocop.
Yeah, they're hybrid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hybrid.
Yeah, somewhere in between.
I've not actually seen this game, all the highlights.
I've seen the tries. Very clever line out by Quinns for the Buchanan try.
Yeah.
And the Horwell. I saw the yellow card. And then his try to make amends at the end.
Yeah.
Where he crashed over, supported by Mike Brown.
Yeah.
But I've not seen much else than that. I've not seen the reskill red card. Because until that, Saracens were right in it. And then he came on in the 62nd minute, I think, and got a red card in the 65th minute. 23-20 at that stage. Or 23-19.
The Quinns fans that follow us on Twitter that were getting in touch.
They were very excited.
They were saying that of how proud they were of the grit and the determination. And I think, you know, I think it was on the last podcast, JB, you said, well, I'm not sure about Quinns.
No, I'm still...
No, I mean,
I know,
I'm not
sure.
I know you're still not sure. You said you're not sure about Quinns.
Oh!
This is the...
he just kicked it out into touch.
Yeah.
Don't shout.
No, but he's kicked it out into touch. It's a Bath line-out.
It is.
You said you weren't sure about Quinns and this would be the test. And I suppose Quinns fans listening last week got in touch with us following the game and said, there's your answer. This Quinns team is for real.
Yeah, I completely agree with them now. I completely agree with them. I still think they're a little bit lightweight. And what I mean by lightweight is you take away their top, say, two or three players on most teams, and they'll really struggle. I don't think they've got class throughout. But, you know, they've just proven me wrong.
Adam Jones played 80 minutes. That's the most phenomenal fact
from
that game.
Yeah, especially when you consider they scored a late try.
Yeah.
Did Adam Jones score a late try, though?
No, he didn't. He was about 60 metres downfield, and they'd been camped on Saracen's line for 10 minutes. I disagree with that. I do think tight end they are weak at. But besides that, I think they've got some depth in a lot of positions.
Si Kelly tweeted at Rugby Podcast, "Boys, time to take Quins as serious top four contenders after beating the Borg. Amazing guts shown." Here we go, Charles Fletcher. "JB, Quins have answered your question surely now. I want Sunday's podcast to be solely about Quins."
Well, let's get on to it, shall we?
I definitely think they're top four. We said it before. Yeah. We said it.
I definitely think they're top four material.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, it'd be ridiculous to argue anything else now.
Yeah.
Just, can they maintain it and can they win in the playoffs? And I'm not sure that... Well, I'm not sure in the playoffs anyone can beat Saracens.
Now, I would say, looking at that Saracens team, they did rest a few players. Well, they had Hamilton starting ahead of Itoji.
But he's the best lock in the world.
According to Top Trumps.
Yeah.
They didn't start Barrett. They didn't start Wiles. They started Jackson Ray.
Interestingly, it was actually Jim Hamilton's tiny calves that James Horwill dived at to score Quins' final try. If they had normal sized calves, well, maybe if you repelled the attack.
If you were going to fight with Jim Hamilton, you'd have to target his calves.
Go for the calves.
Right. So,
did you see Jim Hamilton interviewing Petrus Duplessis for Saracens TV this week?
Sounds riveting.
It was quite funny. Winding him up about him being the main man at the moment and then his acting career.
Why was his acting career?
He's been an extra in a couple of like London gangster films where he's like a Russian henchman standing in the background.
Interestingly, it must be something about tight head props, because someone tweeted us a couple of weeks ago of a clip of Kieran Brooks as an extra in Corrie getting pushed over a wall whilst eating pizza.
Also, I'm pretty sure that the main man, Martin Bayfield, was Hagrid,
but not Robbie Coltrane. Was obviously the face and the voice and everything of Hagrid. But when they needed someone to do the shots,
Harry Potter.
When they needed someone to do the shots of Hagrid, like towering over someone, everyone, they used Martin Bayfield. Fact.
Yeah. There we are. Take that to the bank.
Yeah. The other, I watched. Did you see Leicester Northampton?
Yes,
I did.
In atrocious conditions.
Second half, atrocious conditions.
Second half.
First half.
What a game, though.
When Leicester went 21-0 up, it was beautiful condition. It was still and clear and crisp and dry. And then when Northampton came back into it, particularly in the second half, the conditions were awful.
Yeah. Fantastic comeback. Great attitude shown by Northampton in that second half. All equally, Leicester will be a bit disappointed they didn't just put them to bed and push on and get a...
It's nothing.
That's another one from JB.
No. What they're showing there is like a lump on his leg.
He's got a bit of a bruise.
I love it.
Tui Silva's been playing.
I suppose you must have that formula in your head going, is what I'm about to say worth interrupting?
He had a massive lump on his leg, but then from different angle it didn't. So that's a story.
It's good. Good story.
Leicester will be disappointed they didn't push on and get a four-try bonus point.
Yes.
Victory.
I think they'll be grateful just to get out of it with
a win. Of course they will in the end, but can we talk about what should have been the best moment of Northampton's comeback when they should have gone ahead?
Yep.
And an incredible try by Paul Hill.
Yeah.
40 metres.
And he was being chased by Kitchener, who is an athletic lock.
Well, hear me now, believe me later. Like I always say, the game's going soft. The officials are getting overzealous. They're interpreting the law almost by the letter of the law. It wasn't...
I'm not even sure that was by the letter of the law. It was round the chest.
It was contact with the head. I saw contact with the head.
So if you didn't see the game, they checked a high tackle... And you're right, it's going letter of the law. At one point during the tackle, there was a hand brushing someone's neck, but the contact was made and the effort was made to make the contact around the chest.
Yeah.
And as the player went round, the arm brushed the neck.
Oh, it was nonsense. There was nothing dangerous. And if no part of your body can brush against someone's head or neck in a tackle... What are we going to do?
I said this about 2 years ago. I was like, oh, JB, you're mad.
Sorry, we might as well just bookend this. Marad Boujalad is out on the pitch celebrating Toulon have beaten Bath 12-9. Bath will be devoed.
Yeah, they will be.
Bath will be devastated, but it's a good performance. It's one of the best performances I've seen from Bath this season.
A bonus point could end up being important. It's very unlikely because second place isn't going to emerge from this pool, is it?
Unlikely because it's so competitive.
That's probably it for Bath in Europe. So my opinion has never changed, JB. I'm not suddenly toughening up where I was soft before. Tackles like that I would always call a ridiculous call. I just can't believe such a brilliant moment and what could have been a potentially, well, what was a pivotal moment in a match.
Do you know what else he did as well? The referee, Wayne Barnes, he asked to see it again in slow motion. That's always a tell.
It does look worse.
And I'm sure he said, yeah, it was borderline. I'm sure I heard him say that.
If it's borderline, go for the try.
In rugby league, the greatest game on earth, they award tries with a caveat, benefit of the doubt. So they will score, benefit of the doubt comes on the screen as if it's worth less or more points or it makes any kind of material difference.
I saw former England winger and Northampton and Bath winger John Slighthome tweeting, if that's a high tackle, let's get the tags out and start playing touch. Yeah. Hashtag games gone soft.
Exactly.
What I did like that was that someone replied to him, someone called Ross Pell, replied to him straight away and said, John, I agree. I'm literally fuming.
Wow.
God, he must be angry. He must be seriously angry.
Crikey.
JB, you get very angry, but I've never seen you literally
never
fuming.
Seen you spontaneously combust in any form. Neil Back got in touch with us. He retweeted us. I completely agree.
And presumably Neil Back is a Leicester fan.
Yeah. And
I don't think he is.
Do you not reckon?
No, I don't think he left under the best of circumstances to go to Leeds. Because there's a lot of... You'll remember, when he retired, you had a load of greats retiring from the club at the same time, and they all can't be coaches.
Yeah.
So I think Backy was like a assistant coach for a little while.
Didn't he coach at Leicester Lions in League One?
He went to Rugby.
Rugby Lions.
When Rugby Lions had some cash. Yeah. And he signed a 5-year deal. And then about 6 months later, it materialised that they didn't actually have any cash.
Ouch. Yeah, that's not great.
Really made me angry. If I was a Northampton fan, I would be fuming. If I was a Leicester fan, I'd be feeling very, very like we got off the hook. Although...
There was the kind of intercept, which wasn't an intercept from George North.
Yeah.
And there was the Gibson try, which was a bit of a freak. So Northampton were a little bit fortuitous to be in that position, but... The comeback from them was excellent. Yeah.
There was a tweet about Wayne Barnes, which I actually took exception to. And I give the officials a lot of stick, but at the end of the day, they are there to do a job.
Yeah.
And there are limits to how much you should abuse them. But someone tweeted us a picture of Wayne Barnes in the old Leicester kit. One should be putting that Leicester kit. No one. No matter how badly he's done, the Leicester kit from 2 years ago, you know the one with like the...
The 2 years ago one was lovely. The one with like the camo type.
Oh my word. He doesn't deserve that.
But Manu Tuilagi, he used to wear that kit well, and he is back.
Yes. Nice segue. Look at that.
Very good.
He'll be back on the radio in no time, Tim. he is back. And let's hope he finds some form.
They don't need him. They've got Matt Smith running in tries from 40 metres.
Leicester have a few of these kind of dynasties, these families that...
Is Matt Smith one of them?
Yeah, I think his dad played for Leicester back in the day, and he's born and bred Leicester. I know he had a few years, he played with my brother actually, so I saw a lot of him in the Championship for Nottingham. Oh. And just class. He's one of those, slot him in anywhere, and he's just got great understanding of the game and skills. So he is Leicester's Chris Wiles, and he probably has been for a while.
Sam Vesti, I think he was the fourth Vesti to play for Leicester.
Yeah.
Wow. And the Youngs boys, their old man played for them.
No, he didn't.
Oh, did he not?
He played for Northampton.
Ah. Are you sure?
I'm pretty
sure. They're Norfolk lads. They grew up in Norfolk.
I'm pretty sure they're Northampton.
Farming stock, yeah.
But I thought their father... Nick Youngs, scrum half, Leicester Tigers.
They are then.
Oh, there you go.
Why do I think they're not Northampton? I'm sure they're from... They're not from Northamptonshire or something?
They're from Norfolk.
Oh, they are then. Completely wrong.
Begins with an N, Jay.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Same sort of thing. I'll take it.
But Richard Cockerell didn't, now because I've been the person doing the reporting for BT Sport, and I know the way it goes. The teams get named, 48 hours before a game, or 24 hours at least, and then the teams get confirmed. So then you do the interview with that knowledge. But then, of course, Leicester, and I quite understand why Richard Cockerell did this, kept all of the spotlight off Manu Tuilagi's return by only naming him after he'd done all his media responsibilities.
Clever. That's
very smart.
Yeah.
Doing my favourite Cockerel story. And it could be wrong on many levels, so please...
does it involve yoga?
Why? No.
Oh, what? Yeah. He got big into his yoga when he lost loads of weight when he retired.
No.
Yeah.
Well, like Diamond Dallas Page yoga. That's like the big thing now, isn't it? Apparently, the first time he met Richard Garforth... Darren Garforth. So the ABC Club. Apparently, they all met on, like, a night before a game or something. And the first time he actually...
Him, Roundtree and Garforth.
Yeah, and then after a night out, they all jumped into the back of a scaffolding truck and then went to the game. it's something like that.
Awesome.
There was almost another upset at the Rico.
There was.
For a while, it looked like Worcester were going to win.
I think with 10 minutes to go, they were still leading. And it was... a couple of late tries from...
The thing is with Worcester, and they need to get over this, because they're all rounding into a nice team. They need to believe that they can win. They need to score more frequently. I think they know they're a good team. They know they can play with anyone, but I don't think they believe they can get that extra score or hold on to the win.
I worry about them with their options at 10. Such a crucial position.
It is. Well, that Mills is... quite a good player when they move him in.
Yeah, he's been playing more as a 12, hasn't he?
Yeah, and they get Simon.
He's a good player.
They had Simon's kicking from 12 today, and he kicked reasonably well.
Who was their starting 10? Was it Heathcote?
No, Mills, because Heathcote took a knock to the head last week.
Yeah,
he looks like a decent player.
Yeah, Heathcote, his kicking is running at like 60%, which just isn't good enough for Premiership. You're going to lose games just by missing kicks.
Their back three, superb, Voon have got another try today. They've got Pennell at the back there. But you just think over the length of a season and with the results as they're going that their gap is being eroded that they'd managed to build early on.
I don't know.
I mean, they're still giving great account of themselves. That's what I would say.
At least Worcester look continually competitive.
Andy Goode made his return for Newcastle Falcons. Did you see him in that game?
I started fast forwarding it at that point because I felt the game was pretty much over.
Yeah, no, they were wearing their away kit. They say black is a slimming colour.
as is white, apparently.
They don't have any quite big enough to fit Goode in his current shape, do they? But do you see his kick for Marcus Watson's try?
Yep.
Watson scored 2 yards from the corner flag and Goode just stepped up and slotted it.
I watch Andy Goode and I think, well, maybe I could play again. Not obviously not at a top level, but I saw
obviously not at the top level.
He gives me the confidence that I could maybe miss doing training to get back into rugby fitness and just get out there and just start playing instantly and be good. Because he just has got all those skills that he can. I'm retired. Oh, go on then, I'll come back in. I look like I belong here.
We had a coach last year, and for all his flaws, and he had some, he was a good guy, but had some flaws. One thing he was, very clearly, is back in the day, he was quite a talented player. And he looked at me, and we were beyond the sideline. Peter Borg goes, I'll slot this. Drops it and just slots it straight through the middle. In trainers.
Yeah, some people have it.
Yep. I'm not one of them. I'm not one of them.
And again, they'll be disappointed. They were 1 metre out from the Irish try line with the final play of the game. They kept the ball in injury time for the last 3 or 4 minutes, only to have a turnover against them. They'll be disappointed. Again, Irish, just it's one of those games that's just like, well, they won and Newcastle didn't. Dean Richards has got some head scratching.
Yes.
He's got some issues there. Elsewhere in the Premiership, we might as well just run through the Premiership now we've got this far.
Well, the only other game...
Sale had a week off.
The only other game is the Exeter.
Yeah.
Exeter, Gloucester. Two tries from Thomas the Tank.
Thomas the Tank again.
The early doors.
It was 19-0 up at half time and it was 10 Gloucester points in the second half. I mean, I haven't seen much of this game, but that leads me to believe there was probably a wind down at Sandy Park once again. That was influential, and Exeter have done enough and chalked up another win.
Yes,
which
keeps them in second place in the Premiership.
With 9 games, nearly halfway through, we are, and with a break now for Europe, the top four, as we mentioned, have separated themselves from the rest, really.
Yeah, Leicester 7 points clear of Northampton in fifth. So it's Leicester, then Quinns, then Exeter and Saracens, obviously.
Yeah,
I can't see Bath getting into the European Cup at this rate.
They can leapfrog...
The good one.
They can leapfrog Sale and Gloucester, potentially, but... Whether they break the top six is another question.
Well, look at those top six teams now. I mean, those top six teams look like the top six teams order.
Bath, poor as they may have been by their standards, they are 4 points behind Wasps, having played a game less. So let's not start.
Wasps aren't the force that we expected, particularly given some of their injuries.
But they're both teams that could turn it around very quickly.
Yes.
They could go on some serious runs of form, and then you've got to catch Leicester. Hey,
check this out for a segue, because we're about to segue into Andy Jones' England team. The thing is, JB, the Six Nations is going to have a huge impact. Because the players that are lost usually would affect LV Cup primarily, but they're going to affect 5 rounds of the Aviva Premiership this time.
At least. There's the 2 rest weeks. The Six Nations is over a 7-week period.
Which makes me wonder if Bath signed the Japanese number 8 exactly for this. That's why they wanted him ASAP.
Because they brought in Dave Denton, who'll obviously be going to Scotland.
In terms of due diligence work, not realising that Dave Denton plays for Scotland, that's pretty poor, isn't it?
And Rhys Priestland, your Six Nations cover fly half, announcing he wants to play for Wales.
Well, after we've done the talks about this England squad, then the Johnny Sexton versus Dan Bigger in the Pro 12, as well as the other games, and Phil's pride Ulsterman.
Not in the Pro 12, but I'll talk all day about it.
Yeah, we'll lump the Pro 12 and the European stuff together.
We'll talk about all of that in a little bit. But Eddie Jones, Phil's just getting himself
sliding in.
Eddie Jones is about to select his very first England squad.
Wednesday is the date.
Yes.
He announces it.
So let's get to the bottom of this. So England had 33 men selected for the Rugby World Cup.
They had an initial 31, then Nick Easter joined.
That's right.
For Vunipola, who was injured.
Yeah.
And they had 2 official reserves, who were Callum Clark and Big Luth.
So that's 34 in total.
34, yes.
So England had 34 players in their EPS squad for the Rugby World Cup. Now, what are the... You know all the laws and regulations with this.
Me?
Phil, what's going on? What's going on?
The RFU guidelines, which I guess it's put in place in conjunction with the clubs.
It is, and Premier Rugby.
Premier Rugby, and also presumably the Rugby Players Association. They can only make 10 changes to their squad at any one time for consistency and all that, and so the players know who's coming and going. So we've got that initial 34-man squad, and they can make 10 changes to it, plus, I believe, Burgess, because Burgess is gone, so that leaves us with 11 potential changes, although we don't have to make them. So what we're suggesting doing is run through position by position and say whether we'd keep them or cut them, and then if we cut them...
Stick or twist.
Who do we replace them with?
Do you want to start with 1 or 15, Phil?
I'd rather start with 1.
Yeah, I think the tougher decisions are in the back line anyway.
So, 1, there was Marler and Mako. I'd definitely keep both of those.
I'd keep Marler and Mako,
Potentially, I'd look to add Mullen, if we can.
I've put down that same thing. I think Matt Mullen has been more impressive at loose head, and England took 3 tight heads to the World Cup. Brooks is injured.
Yeah.
He would have been my starting tight head for England.
He would have been for me as well. His form before Christmas was very good.
So I'm kind of thinking Wilson and Cole were the other 2 tight heads. I'd probably go, Wilson hasn't been doing anything great, but other tight head has.
I think Wilson's a little bit more consistent than Cole. I think Cole is just a flat track bully.
Well, no, I'd probably go Cole was number 2 behind Brooks personally. But so anyway, my point is I'd say yes, Cole and Wilson, only because Brooks is injured, and we now have 3 loose heads with Mullen added instead of 3 tight heads.
Yeah, I will just say on the young guys at tight head, Paul Hill is looking good.
Mm-hmm. Well, Saxon's is perfect place for him.
Yeah, Saxon's is perfect. Henry Thomas, I've said before,
is
developing.
But I forgot how young Henry Thomas was. I saw his age today, 24.
Yes.
What?
Yeah. He doesn't look like 24 as well.
He really is. He's a tough paper round.
I would keep... So Brooks is probably going to stay in the squad even though he's injured, and they'll rehab him. But probably Colin Wilson stay.
Cole Wilson, Marler Mako and Mullen.
Yes, happy with that.
Hookers.
So Youngs, George and Webber were the 3.
Right, Youngs and George stay. Webber gone?
Yes. Hartley captain.
Hartley in. But Hartley pulled out injured before Northampton's game as well.
He did. Rip complaint.
And Hayward had another fantastic performance.
Hayward is playing very, very well. And also, there's one thing that Eddie Jones has said about the way he wants to play, and he has said he wants a hooker who can hook, which Tom Youngs doesn't really hook. So, Tommy Taylor, is the only one.
Anyone that's listened to this podcast for any length of time knows that I've been.
This is very odd.
I've been banging on about Tommy Taylor for years.
I wonder if that's got something to do with the reason that Sale are they still 100% on their own scrum. I think they're the best team on their own scrum.
Yeah, they are.
And I wonder if that's got something to do with it, the fact that they're probably not scrimmaging and getting it back and getting it out.
Well, it's also something to do with their tight head.
Vadim Kobolash.
Anyway.
Yeah, so...
So, Will, Youngs and George, I would have Hartley if he's fit. If not, then Haywood or Taylor. Should be on the radar.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And both of those may be in the Saxons.
Yes.
Second row, then. So, the World Cup, what were the locks? It was Launchbury, Laws, Cruz and Parling?
Correct. Now... I would probably get rid of Parling.
I'd probably get rid of Laws.
Would you?
Well, do you know what? There's a mutual friend of mine and Phil's, and he sent us a message on WhatsApp about Laws, and he was absolutely right, which is we've been waiting for him to get better for 5 years, and I can't say he actually has. His tackling is wrecking his shoulders. I don't think he's a long-term prospect, so I think that maybe they should look at moving on from him.
Hmm. Well, who would you replace him with?
Good question. I love Atwood.
Itoji?
He's injured. Atwood's injured for the Six Nations.
I am not going to buy into the Itoji hype completely, but I do think he's worthy of a place.
Well, here's what I was thinking. I'm thinking, well, as you're here with the rest of my team, I want to cut some of the experience free. I like Parling, and I think for the next couple of years... I don't think there's no better line-out technicians in England.
Whoa.
He's a great character, got great leadership, he's a lion.
Culture, adds to the culture.
I think, on merit, and as well, if I was picking an England team tomorrow when Cruz was available...
Cruz is in.
I'd be going Cruz and Parling with my locks.
Well, I'd have Cruz, I'd probably have Launchbury.
Back to Parling as well, for this great line-out operator, which he supposedly is.
Which he is.
Well, which he supposedly is. He was the one who called the ball to himself during the World Cup... which was completely the wrong option.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He was in there a lot of the times just to make Tom Youngs feel a bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
So, you know, do you really need that guy if you've got
and also,
a better hooker?
When Exeter had everyone fit at the start of the season...
Mitch Lees
and Damien Welsh.
And has anyone spoke about Mitch Lees yet? Because I know he's on the radar.
He's injured
again.
So I think we've got to pick Itoji in. We've got to put Itoji in.
I think Itoji has to.
Because he can play at six as well.
Slater would have been right up there, but he's also injured.
Yeah.
I really like Kitchener of Leicester. I think he's a very good all-round player. Very good all-round lock.
So what are you saying? You're saying Parling out, Kitchener in?
I'd be tempted to. And I would also be tempted to keep Laws, although I wholeheartedly agree with the statement that Jade just made.
All
that,
right.
That he is... 4 years ago, when he burst onto the scene, we would have expected him to be the standout lock in the world. I would definitely keep him in the squad. I think he's coming back to... I hope he's coming back to fitness.
So you two are saying Parling gets cut?
Parling goes for me, so we've got consensus on that.
You have. I disagree for what it's worth, because... Let me just quickly rattle through my back row. That's fine, though. I'm happy to be outvoted. But in the back row, which is... Chris Robshaw stays. Tom Wood goes.
OK.
Haskell goes. Clark...
Oh, behave! Wow.
Clark goes.
Wow!
Oh. Billy Vunipola stays. Ben Morgan goes.
This is a massacre.
Yeah, this is...
And Easter?
Easter goes.
Massacre!
So it's like some
axe-wielding maniac.
Five of the seven back row players involved for England during the World Cup.
Who comes in?
Who comes in? Josh Beaumont as the number eight. Josh Beaumont deserves to be in the England squad on form over Ben Morgan. Haskell, I might keep, potentially.
That's madness
for banter.
But I just don't think he's a seven. He's not going to solve that seven issue. So I go, Will Fraser's in.
Wait, let me tell you what my
England back row for the...
Yeah.
So Robshaw Wood, I'm thinking they're both leadership guys. They're both sixes. You can play 6. Seven.
5.
They're both industrious. We don't need them both. So I would go Robshaw, Ewers, if fit, Fraser,
yeah,
Billy Vunipola, Josh Beaumont, and Maro Itoji as a kind of second row
cover. I think that's crazy. I think that last one's crazy. I do.
I'd be tempted to have Itoji as a second row purely to get him experience.
Okay.
But not. I don't think he'd be near the starting... Well, starting 23.
No. Yeah.
I think Itoji has played 6 in the same way that Sean Wright Phillips played right back when he first started. Just in order to get him game time.
Yeah.
That boy is not a 6. He's a second row, and if he keeps on improving the way he is, he's going to be a damn good second row. So I think you're a bit out with that. The rest of it, though, I think Fraser will come into it because of Gustard.
I'd be more tempted to go Fraser for Wood,
but
perhaps.
Gustard loves.
Clark's got
or
Clark,
Fraser for Clark.
Clark.
Say Fraser for Clark, yeah, then.
People forget how much work Haskell does, and his tackling stats
are phenomenal. No, I'm not forgetting about it. Let me just say, I think he's a great player, great guy, good leader, good bloke. I don't think he's England now. I don't think he's England future.
I agree with you, Tim. I would. So, should we do this person by person?
Yeah, go on.
Should we say Rob Shaw? Keep or cut?
In. Keep.
Keep for me.
I'm going to say cut.
So 2-1, Rob Shaw stays. Wood, keep or cut?
Keep.
Cut, keep. I'm going to say cut as well. So Wood goes.
Do you not think Wood's a better six than Rob Shaw, though?
Because that's
No.
Rob Shaw, bigger, stronger, better carrier. Wood is a good all-round
player.
More
athletic, better in the line-out.
Yeah.
Although Rob Shaw is very good in the line-out. And then the Hask.
He works too hard. His work rate is phenomenal, and people, and they always overlook all the hard work that he does.
What's Eddie Jones's philosophy on upright running into post protectors?
I don't know, but I will tell you what
his
philosophy on sevens. He's not a Kvesic man, although we did bring through George Smith. So
yeah,
maybe George Smith.
I would keep the Hask. Mm. I don't think he'll be around for the next World Cup.
Yeah,
but I do agree he does a phenomenal amount of work. And
we've got a poltergeist.
Nothing's in me.
Not my phone on.
I didn't take your phone.
We've got a poltergeist in the
arm round the back.
Whatever.
it's like we're in a late night cinema showing.
No, if you ever watch the politics show The Week, I'm currently sitting like Michael Portillo. Phil is currently Diane Abbott.
First time I've been likened to Diane Abbott. I must admit. I would keep the Hask.
Haskell stays, all right.
And then Clark.
Gone.
I would get rid of. Then, for me, Easter gone. Morgan I would keep. Because I think he's just, this season, he has been injured. He's just coming back to fitness and hopefully form. And he would still, even though Beaumont is a very good player, he'd still be my second choice eight for England.
So Wood, Clark, Easter are gone.
Yes.
And so based on that, that's our consensus that we've all agreed on.
Fraser comes in.
Fraser in. Is Ewers fit?
If he is, he should be in there.
He's in. Fraser, Ewers, and... Or maybe not. Maybe no one else. Maybe you don't need anyone else. Itoji, maybe as a covering second row, back row?
No. Second row only if he comes in.
Yeah, I'd have him in as... I would have Itoji in as the second row. I would have Fraser, Ewers, if fit. I'd be tempted to go for Beaumont. If it was a couple of years ago, I'd be so tempted to have Waldrum. Just because his form is... So damn good.
Scrum half then, this is a bit easier, isn't it? So Youngs and Kerr, they're going to stay, aren't they? Do you think?
Yes,
for me.
And then come on, please Wiggy out. Wigglesworth out.
His form's good for Saracens.
And he controls things well.
But I would definitely have Simpson ahead of...
Yes,
ahead.
Phil.
Or I think Will Chudley
Will
does
Chudley?
Deserve some
Saxon,
recognition.
Yep.
Yeah, Saxons definitely.
What about Ben Spencer?
He's third choice at Saracens.
Yeah, everyone's third choice at Saracens.
That's true. Everyone's equal third.
Yeah.
No potential for the future, not yet.
Okay.
So Wigglesworth out, Simpson in, and then at fly half. So Ford and Farrell were the two fly halves for England at the World Cup.
They're both in. 100%.
I
say Farrell and Sippers.
Well,
I say Ford Farrell and Sippers because Farrell. I want to maybe push out, particularly with Slade not being fit. Farrell is an option to push out to 12.
Yes, I would do exactly that. I would consider Farrell as a auxiliary centre and have Sippers in there.
I would have been with you 100% maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, 100%. The reason I'm not going to do that is because I think Saracens have looked at it now and looked at it in depth, and they don't like it. And if they don't like it, I don't think that England will like it.
Yeah, maybe. I just want to see Ford and Farrell playing together. Because I think it could potentially solve a lot of problems. Particularly, I thought Ford played excellently against Toulon.
Gives you a ton of width.
Yeah. And Farrell's defensively solid. He has got the show and go. He can distribute, he can kick. It's very good fit. So, from what I've seen, but they're, like you say, perhaps there is a good reason why they're not doing
it. So we're all saying Sippers in.
Yes.
Centre. Now, we've got Burgess gone, obviously.
Yeah.
Slade is injured, but will be still selected within the EPS squad.
Yes, he'll be in like the extended squad. He won't be considered for the 31 man for the tournament.
Joseph, we all agree, should stay in, so that we can tick that one off. So it's Barrett and Burrell.
Yeah, it is.
Barrett and Brawl, and I'd keep them both.
I don't think you got a
I don't think
you got a choice. And you know what? The other one who I love is Eastmond.
Yeah.
But show me what Eastmond's done recently. You know, he's. I think there's a danger Eastmond won't even be at Bath next year.
I don't want to keep Barrett and Burrell. Daly in for one of them.
So Daly comes in.
Daly comes in for Burrell or Burgess, whichever, whatever. Daly comes in. And then, bearing in mind, I'm considering Farrell as an auxiliary 12 and Slade when fit.
What makes you think Slade will be a 12?
Because you've got Daly and Joseph.
Yeah, but I don't think he will. I think.
And you've got Tuolangi that's going to be coming back.
I mean, look, if it was down to me, I'd have pace, but it isn't down to me. So what we're trying to decide is who comes in. And Gustard is going to make a lot of calls. And again, it comes down to him. Why would you have Barrett? Because he knows the defensive structure that Gustard will bring in.
I think Barrett will stay.
I think he will.
I've got a feeling he will stay as well.
I said
flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Previously, the only way that Barrett could stay in the England squad was if Jake White got the job, but
we never saw this curveball.
Yeah, Gustard, I think, will mean that Barrett retains his place.
You say you want pace. I've actually just thought about it, and you know, New Zealand and Australia, I looked at it, and Australia have got Folau and Kurindrani in their back line. That's a lot of power. New Zealand had Nonu and Surveyor in their back line. They still had a lot of power to go with the pace of Milne, Scudder and the like. But personally, I would Burrell out, Burgess out, Daly in, Sippers in. Yeah. We got very little consensus on the centres, really. If you want to add your thoughts,
Joseph and Daly.
Rugby podcast. Yeah. Joseph and Daly is the outside centres.
I'm going to say drop Big Loof, keep Barrett.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's probably clear as mud, our centres, but I think you probably know how we all feel individually. But at Rugby Podcast, tell us what you reckon on Twitter. This should be a bit easier. Do you change anything from those back three options of Brown and Goode fullback, May, Noel, Watson at
wing? Well, yes, because May and Noel are out, aren't they?
Well, May is definitely out because he's having surgery on his knee.
But he'll stay in the EPS squad.
Yes, but you need to bring someone else in because he'll be injured. Noel twisted his knee yesterday. We don't know any more than that yet. And
still no Wade.
Yeah, Wade's definitely out for the foreseeable.
Rocco in then for May.
Maybe.
Because that does bring a little bit of that power balance that maybe you're lacking.
I would look at Ashton. I think Ashton's playing well. Rocco hasn't. Has he played well? Hard to say. He's, I mean, when Bath are doing badly, or when any team is doing badly, their wingers tend to do badly.
Yeah, they suffer.
But going back to what I said, if you look at international, top class international teams, they've all got a bit of power to go along with some of the subtlety, and I think Rocco brings that power that England maybe don't have.
Yeah, I would have Rocco in there.
I like him. Yeah. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't, other than Bath aren't doing well.
Yeah. Wowzers. That was a spicy debate. I'm sorry,
and Goode starts over Brown.
We're not talking about the 15, we're talking about the 23, the 31.
And of course he can pick up to 39 players if he wants.
He can do, the Six Nations rules allow up to 39, but it seems that they only ever pick 31, 32.
But with the injuries, you might imagine that he would name Slade and May and Brooks, for example.
So that could take the total squad up to 39,
yeah,
with those injured players. And you could, like injured players, you could have Tuolagi in there, although he's just coming back, but just naming the wider squad.
Yeah. Richard Cockerell was at pains to say after the game that he's not ready for Test match rugby and he's going to make sure he talks to Eddie Jones.
He's played 10 minutes in the past year and a half. Of course he's not ready for Test match rugby.
Centre's the biggest talking point still.
Yes, this whole I mean, you could have potentially had completely settled from the Six Nations, and Burrell and Joseph just continued through the World Cup, and England made the quarterfinals, and we wouldn't be having all of this discussion, but the whole Proposition B put a bit of a spanner in the works, didn't it?
And you're Eddie Jones. Do you name a captain on Wednesday? I think you don't.
No. No chance. Absolutely
not.
Not
close.
Making such a rod for your own back if you name a captain.
Yeah. If you had to name a captain on Wednesday and you were Eddie Jones?
I had to.
Haskell.
You know what? I'd actually be tempted to name Owen Farrell.
Well, that's not a bad shout.
He can be petulant. I think it might calm him down.
Do you know what I would say? I would say we have a squad captain. I'd do squad captain. Do you like club captain and team captain? Because there's nothing wrong with having a figurehead.
Yeah, so you could have like Marler as a squad captain, perhaps.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't necessarily start, because I would probably start Mako ahead of him at the moment. Mm-hmm. Or even the Hask as a squad captain.
Yes, exactly. Hask would be perfect for that.
Hask would be a good one for that.
If I had to pick a captain out of the players that I've got in my squad... Oh, God, it's really tough, isn't it?
There's no one really there who's like the old man of the squad. It's not like Simon Shaw or something, is there?
I mean, you look at Wales, and if Warburton's out, then it goes to Alan Wynne-Jones.
Yeah.
And if he's out, then Bigger can take it, or Jamie Roberts can take it.
Not really El Chopo, but...
But Jenkins could take
it. Jenkins absolutely could.
Yeah, so there's plenty there.
I think Eddie Jones will avoid picking Chris Robshaw, but I don't see anything wrong with picking Chris Robshaw.
I don't think he'll avoid it. I think he's going to want to have a look at this guy in the flesh and see how he trains and see. I mean, he's obviously a great asset and a good leader.
All right, if I was going to pick one tomorrow, I was thinking Ford or Farrell myself, so I'll go with Phil and say Farrell.
There you go, then.
Farrell, England captain.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Hey, what about your pride, Ulsterman, Phil?
Stop. Stop. We've got a sounder for it.
Sound for what?
For the Pro 12 teams.
Oh, right, yeah.
Wait.
This is a presentation from the world's most explosive league. The creators of Dragons 13, Zebra Nil. Starring Rory Pittman, Scott Adkins, and Luke Burgess, the other one. Warriors, all Border Weavers. This is the Pro 12 Report.
Now you can talk.
Love it. So this isn't Pro 12 expressly, this is the European Rugby Champions Cup.
But we're Pro 12 teams.
But do you know the circumstances around Ulster's victory, JB?
No idea.
Right, check this out then. So they're playing Oyonnax away.
Okay.
And at half time, they are 23-0 down.
Oh no.
To which...
They can't come back from this.
To which I left to go and do my shopping for the week. I thought, they were awful. They made a few changes to their starting lineup. Like Pienaar wasn't starting, Nick Williams wasn't starting, Paddy Jackson wasn't starting, and they had the worst. The scrums were pathetic. Everything was going wrong. They couldn't string two phases together, and they were 23-0 down. And I needed to go and do a big shop for the week, and I had to come and record this podcast. So I went and did that, and then I started getting updates on my phone while I was in Sainsbury's, and I realised I'd made a terrible, terrible mistake.
The game finished Oyonnax 23-0 at half time. The game finished Oyonnax 23, Ulster 24.
Wow. Actually, strange enough, I missed the first half of the Bath game because I too had to do my weekly shop. And just to put it in some sort of context of exactly how out of it I am, I had no idea that you had to pay for bags. Which really, really upset me.
So, what?
Well, no, I didn't know we had to pay for bags.
Have you been living under a rock for the past?
Well, no, when I go to the shop, I buy what I need, put it in my pockets, and then just disappear, right? But now it's like seven pence per bag. So now I've got these bags, and I'm literally going to throw them in the Mersey, because I've paid the clean-up tax.
Well, yeah, you've paid. So basically, that is the cleanup or the cost of killing a turtle.
Exactly.
Or a swan or something.
If I see it, it's
like double jeopardy that, you know, if you've been charged of a crime, you can't then be, you've been acquitted of a crime, you can't be found guilty of it again. So if someone found you not guilty of murdering someone and then they turned up alive, you could kill them.
No, it's basically...
So you can now go and kill a swan.
It's basically, exactly. It's basically like me paying a murder tax where I pay every year to murder one person. And if that was the case, I'd go and murder one person. I've already paid for it. So if I do see a turtle on Chawton...
Yes, exactly, Jay.
But you've not been shopping in the last few months.
Not big shop like that, no.
Well, no, but I noticed what you got. You bought the more expensive bags. You bought the like the 7 or 10p bags rather than the 5p bag.
Thing is,
and that means you can take them to the shop next time.
Well, they're mid-range bags.
It just means that they'll jam up the drains more efficiently.
Yeah, it'd take 2,000 years rather than 1,000 years for that to biodegrade.
You want to mess with me? Fine, feel free.
So the European Rugby Champions Cup, then, it was two close games. Toulon eked out over Bath. Bath, much better performance, but still came out without the win. Ulster went away to France and came back with the points. It was a little bit more one-sided in the games yesterday, with Racing pretty much taking Glasgow to the cleaners and Stade Francais dominating Munster, who are having a horrible year.
Did Mick Foley cry again?
I didn't actually see the Racing Glasgow game, but I did notice that Finn Russell was starting at 12.
Yes.
Mm.
And I kind of felt maybe Glasgow are going to be a little bit lightweight for this. They didn't have... Well, they had Xander Fagerson?
Fagerson,
Yeah. Starting at three.
That says Fagerson.
Whatever it says.
It's Fagerson.
I did look at that Glasgow team and think there would be a little bit lightweight. And the Racing tries came from numbers 1, 2, 3 and 5.
Yep.
So it kind of felt like it went a little bit as I was expecting.
And then on Friday night there was Clermont, who smashed Bordeaux Bagels away in Pool 2 of the European...
Bagels. Isn't it Begler?
Bordeaux Begler. Begler. Yeah, no. Fagerson, Fagerson, Bagels, Beglers. But there was a red card in this one for a Clermont player who had just come onto the match with about 20 minutes to go, and he left he left pretty sharply afterwards for what was described by the referee and a red card and the TMO as a headbutt.
Do you want to show it to me, or
do
you think I'll get angry?
You'll probably get angry.
You will get angry, because if I got angry at this, then your reaction will be...
I've settled down now.
Letter of the law, he does go for it, and he makes contact with a head. I don't think it's a headbutt.
It's
as bad as the
Hartley pushing
one?
Him away with it.
The Hartley one was not a headbutt, ever.
It's a contact sport. It's a tough sport for tough men.
Exactly.
And there's just I'll tell you what it is with the refereeing decisions with that and the high tackle. I expected better of Wayne Barnes, to be honest, because he is one of the best referees in the world. But there's just not enough empathy for the players and what they're doing. And anyone who's played a game of rugby at any level knows what it's like when you put a full-blooded fair hit in. And everyone knows what it's like when you have a little bit of handbags after a line-out or a scrum. You grab someone...
One of the things, right, which rugby does very well is the players are quite easily relatable to by the fans. And you can understand if you've... Like you say, you've got into physical confrontation with someone, it gets a little bit over the top, and you start pushing around, there might be some handbags. So you understand that. What you can never identify with is, say, the footballers who throw themselves on the floor.
Yeah.
Because I just don't understand
They're pushed in the chest and they're... go down holding their face.
This is where it will lead. Because rugby players... More than anything else, they want to win. So it's not going to be long until we hear that dreaded phrase, oh, you just can't raise your hands. Every time I hear that phrase, it drives me crazy in football. And that's where it's going to end.
Here you go.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Let's have a look, then.
I had to watch this twice to even realise who was doing it. So, number 9... Purple 19 comes
purple
in
19,
there.
There you go. Number 19. Number 4, yellow.
That. That's no! No!
Yeah.
Oh, that's disgusting. Oh, that's just so wrong. I mean, and who benefits from that? Who benefits from that? Do we think about it? I mean, if no one mentions it, it goes on. There wasn't a clear head, but kids aren't going to wake up in France tomorrow and start headbutting people if we just let it go.
You don't know, Jay. You just don't know.
No, you don't. You're right, actually. You just don't know.
If we can save one child from headbutting another
you're
child...
You're so right, actually. You know what? Now I consider my... my obligations to children.
Yeah,
I've got this wrong.
There's way more contact head-to-head in a scrum than in that head.
Well, I mean, I saw a scrum today and all three players led with their heads. And all you made sort of the flankers.
I watched so many... pretty much every tackle that I saw in all of the rugby today, players led with their shoulder.
No!
Yeah.
This is an outrage.
Yeah.
That bit of reffing there, I kid you not, that is an attack on our game. An actual attack.
One positive from that game. Benders scored a very nice try. Very nice finish.
Mm. Benders! I want to watch an England game and shout Benders, Sissers.
Yep.
Banners. We all do.
And Banners.
I'm not sure I'd want to watch the England game.
I'm right. Okay, so in the Guinness Pro 12 then?
Well, just one more game from the Champions Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Was Stade Francais, Munster.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which there was another red card.
Yeah.
This time entirely correct.
Yeah, that one I have no arguments with.
Which was a gouge from Reisouk, the winger, the Stade Francais winger. There was also, I've not actually seen it, but an apparent wonder try from this young lad, Sekou Makalou. He's a 20-year-old French boy from Stade Francais, number 6. Bulldozing CJ Stander, number 8. Fending Keatley before making an electric break from 50 yards and putting the game beyond the reach for the travelling Munsterman. So, I need to see that try. I need to catch up with the highlights tonight.
Here is that try, Phil.
Yes, thanks, Tim. Go on, lad. Oh, and the step.
Bye.
Wow.
Guess I'll be seeing you boys around then.
That's going to be a pretty ugly videotape review for Munster Monday morning, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got some gas and
step, with gas, strength to get out of it. That was a standing start.
So, 20-year-old, number 6, with Thierry Dussatoir retiring from international rugby and the France squad being announced in the next couple of weeks.
Now, is he a 6 or a 7?
He was wearing number 6.
What does that mean? He's a 7 then?
Well,
he's a big,
like,
old unit as well.
Yeah, because he's like 6'4".
I like the 6 that plays for Toulouse, Camara, or Camara, or whatever his name is. He's like 6'4".
Oh, yeah.
Chris Camara.
Yeah. He's unbelievable.
Unbelievable!
So, yeah, they could have a tasty back row, France.
They could have a pretty handy back row. Mm. Especially with the pick-em-alls.
JB, I would like to talk about Pro 12.
Fire away, then.
So, I watched, as I'm sure you did, Leinster against Ospreys, or Ospreys versus Leinster. It was it was in Swansea on Friday night. And, well, I think if, on the basis of that game alone, your call as best 10 in the world, Dan Biggott, got outshone comfortably by Jonathan Sexton.
Okay, well, this is the game I watched because I promised I'd watch one Pro 12 game a week to see if I could be converted. So Ospreys Leinster is a bit of a glamour tie. Unfortunately, it was all the things that things the Pro 12 is, which I hate. So first of all, it's an empty stadium. Second of all, in the back line there was only
anyone who watched the Medeski London Irish Newcastle match could have levelled the same accusation.
Yeah, but London Irish is scrapping at the bottom, and these are two teams scrapping at the top of the Pro 12. The Ospreys back line was full of people that I don't really know. And in addition,
there's 5 internationals in that back line. There's an All Black. There's a Canadian international.
Okay, when's the last time? All right,
I've not seen much of Dan Evans or Jonathan Spratt.
Or Jeff Hassler?
No, not a huge amount. But he's Canadian international, Jeff Hassler.
Yeah.
Brendan Leonard, All Black.
But I mean, Brendan Leonard was relevant 5 years ago. 5 years
even,
ago.
Even 5 years ago, he wasn't relevant.
No, he wasn't relevant. So don't give me he's an All Black.
He is an All Black.
It's just simply not good enough. And then to compound things, they had two Lions sat on the bench.
Yeah.
So it was exactly what I expected. Now, let's talk about Dan Biggott. Dan Biggott was magnificent, as usual. He did miss a hard long-range kick, but actually it was Dan Biggott that kept them in the game for a long period until at the end.
And it was Jonathan Sexton who dominated territory the entire game.
Let me just talk about Jonathan Sexton.
His kicking game was outstanding. His game understanding, knowing what to do and when.
His kicking was magnificent. And what he does, maybe better than anyone, is he does these kind of low spiral kicks. So the guys are in position, but this thing just skids along the turf and goes straight out. That is so difficult to do.
It's a hell of a skill, because the most important thing with those kind of kicks is to find turf, because you can then bounce it into touch. If it goes up in the air and too high, the player gets underneath it and it's returned.
You want to talk about good kicking, and just I know you'll be happy to talk about Ulster again. Have you seen Paddy Jackson's the final kick he did?
I've not actually seen it.
Well, have a look at it, because you want to talk about
all the highlights today.
You want
Tim.
To talk about Bottle 55 metres behind the halfway line to win it.
Wow, he's absolutely nailed it.
Behind his own halfway line.
What a second half from Ulster.
There you go.
Awesome.
Paddy Jackson, everybody.
The second best 10 in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah. Sexton had a good game, but let's just remember, Dunbigger is the best 10 in the Northern Hemisphere. And if they played at the same club, I'm afraid that Johnny Sexton would have to be his backup, because that's just what happens.
I did like Dave Carney as well. His two tries, particularly the strength for the finish on his first try, is pretty nice.
It's a pretty rubbish game, actually, until the very end. Anything else you want to talk about, gents, in the Pro 12?
Well, yeah, from that same game, I'm just trying to find the clip of Jonathan Spratt's player mic, because, you know, there's been some innovations in the game of rugby, but player mic
isn't one of them.
Yeah.
There's been some decent player mics in NRL. I've watched some funny players.
The NFL ones are pretty good.
In the NFL and the NRL in rugby league in Australia and New Zealand. But it hasn't worked for me yet in rugby union. And there's a good example of it on Friday night. What was it? Jonathan Spratt was given the player mic, the centre for Ospreys.
Why don't you do an impression of Jonathan Spratt instead?
All right, while I'm trying to find it, I will just do it. So basically, you just go, all you actually end up hearing is him going, "All right, boy, yeah, I'm with you. Forward! Forward!"
That's so on point.
That's it.
Here we go.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. I might have it.
Circle! Hey! Awesome, it's Sammy, but awesome. Get around, cut us again. Can you? Yeah.
Right then, Sammy boy. Forward.
On the back.
See, like out of a whole 80 minutes, that's the best bit they could get. I'm thinking, like, imagine if Joe Marler was on player mic. Then now we're talking.
Did you ever see the Willie Mason player mic?
That's the one I was thinking of when he was playing in the NRL.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was very, very funny.
Play a snippet of it.
Yeah, let's play a tiny little bit.
Scores Newcastle's first try.
Hello, it!
Yes, Willie.
What are you doing? He's made some front rollers, you
cats. Ouch. What did he say before? Which needs to be bleeped out then.
Yeah.
She makes a Mary. That word wasn't beat up. What did they think that was?
Coach paying me 20 minutes all year. I'm a 25-minute man, plus.
There we go. That's what player Mike's all about. Not Jonathan Spratt going, forward! Forward! I'm here, Sammy boy.
I've seen enough of that.
Since we were just talking about Pro 12, and before we get into the fixtures for next week, why don't we quickly touch on the fact that Ireland have appointed Andy Farrell as defence coach.
Now they have.
That's nobody. Who saw that coming?
If I was going to predict where he would have gone, I would have said possibly going back to Saracens to take Gustard's role. I thought that was quite a good fit. I would not have predicted this.
I'm not sure what I think of it, really. I think after the World Cup, his stock was down. Who knows? It might turn out to be genius.
It will possibly give us an answer to the question as to where...
Whose fault was it?
Yeah, where Farrell's weaknesses was. Was he having a negative disrupting effect? Was his... kind of his actual coaching and his technical side weak. So it might answer some questions from the fallout from the England World Cup. But it could also, I mean, when he went into the role with England, he was pretty highly thought of. For the first couple of years, probably. It's only really the World Cup when his stock has fallen.
And I think maybe with a stronger coach, he might not be as much hard work.
I think that is a big thing, yeah. Because he is obviously a much stronger character, more experienced, arguably on the coaching side, but certainly on the playing side than Stuart Lancaster. He will always think he could have thought his voice should have carried more weight than Lancaster's. So this is possibly some of the.
And I think, you know what, for his own development, it's a great move. And I would say the same. Ultimately, at some point in the future, the fact he is an Englishman and Sean Edwards is an Englishman is going to mean that Twickenham does call for them. And if it may well sync up in the future, and the experience that Sean Edwards will have got at Wales and the experience that Andy Farrell could get at Ireland could be invaluable to England in the future. So
it's what,
good luck to him.
It's what New Zealand do. They have good coaches who go out elsewhere, like Graham Henry, like Steve Hansen, were both at Wales, weren't they?
Yeah,
like Gatland now will have one eye on the New Zealand job when Steve Hansen finishes.
Whether you'll ever...
like Joe Schmidt will do as well. Mm. So you're right, this could have a long-term positive impact for England, potentially.
We were talking about guys like last week's podcast, we were mentioning how great it was that Haskell went around and sampled all these different cultures and playing styles. And just,
yeah.
And you've seen what New Zealand coaches, yeah. how it's benefited them.
Yeah, it would be good. It would be really good to
South
get
African.
To get someone, an English coach, to go down to the Southern Hemisphere and coach, even if it's an assistant coach.
Yeah, no, it'd be good to see a good English coach go and see if they can cut it in Super Rugby. I'd really like to see that. I think that's a great show.
I don't think the money's big enough, is it?
Oh, but it's about the long-term development. Less money now.
If it was all about money, Rob Baxter would have thrown his hat in the ring for England.
Yeah,
I'm sure
he'd taken some coin.
I'm sure they'll be able to get by in New Zealand, live a very, very good life, and completely enhance their coaching reputation and the potential in their development. So it could be a very good move for someone to do it.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
The only interesting thing about Farrell... Well, no, there's two interesting things. One, he will be defence coach, charged with stopping his own son, which is quite unusual.
Yeah.
Directing Sean O'Brien to smash his own son.
Get him!
Also, he doesn't actually take his role until after the Six Nations.
That might be some sort of break clause that he's got with England.
Possibly.
That when Chris Moyles nicked my job, I wasn't allowed to do make any radio for 3 months afterwards. Mm. So, which has just finished very recently.
There you go.
Oh, that's interesting, Tim.
Watch this space. Anyway, fixtures then for the weekend. So we go from the Pro 12 and everything to a Pro 12 side, Ospreys. They're at home again on a Friday night. This time, Claremont, the visitors.
And Claremont.
You've got to see Claremont coming away with the points.
Give me Claremont. I think, well, that will answer the question as to why you may have rested two of your Lions. Because Ospreys are on 12 points, Claremont are on 14 points. But give me Claremont.
Yep. European Rugby Challenge Cup, Po Sail Sharks, Dragons Cast. I'll be at that game. So if you would rather flip over from Sky Sports, Ospreys, Claremont, to Dragons v Cast... I'll see you there. Edinburgh, Agen, Pool 5.
Well, many people might only have BT Sport because they do some very good, they do some very reasonable broadband deals where you get BT Sport thrown in.
Yeah, that is true.
Good point, well made, Phil. So Pool 1 on Saturday, Oyonnax, Toulouse. It doesn't really matter, does it?
Dead rubber.
Who cares? The big one in Pool 1 is all about Saracens, Ulster.
Saracens are 6 points ahead at the moment with two games to play.
Yeah.
Ulster... They really need to get a bonus point out of this because they're pushing for... I fully expect Saracens to win and to secure the group, but if Ulster get bonus points, they could well come as a runner-up. So it is important for Ulster, and also just to restore some pride after Saracens kind of took us apart at the Kingspan.
You are on one.
Yeah, basically.
Next fixture... In Pool 2, Bordeaux host Exeter. Again, Exeter have got an opportunity.
Yeah, Exeter on 10 points, so 2 points behind Ospreys, who are in turn 2 points behind Claremont. Yeah. So they're in third, but two wins could see them through.
Yeah, Exeter
and
for me.
Bordeaux are, while not mathematically out, I don't think yet, they're pretty much out, so... Exeter to win away in France.
Yeah, Pool 4, you've got Munster, Stade Francais, that game in the reverse this time, and Munster are dead and they're gone.
Yeah, pretty much. And Stade Francais are in second place, having only lost to Leicester. I expect Stade Francais will win that.
Yeah, I do as well. And then Leicester, comfortable. I mean, I'm working at this game as well. Leicester, you'd have to think of favourites to beat Benetton Treviso comfortably.
So you're driving down to...
I'll go to Newport on Friday.
Straight across to Leicester.
But the Leicester game's on the evening, so...
Oh, it's 7.15.
It's 7.45, so what would you do? Would you drive back to Manchester and then drive to Leicester on Saturday? Or
no.
Would you just crash somewhere in Newport and then just
Newport's
drive
lovely.
And just
oh, spend... on their way it's awful
and then drive to
a Premier Inn in Newport.
Have you seen the bit of so called art that they have in Newport, the wave or something? Oh, just look it up, Phil. It's horrendous.
Newport wave.
Oh, isn't it beautiful?
Let's have a look. I'll get one up for you, Tim. There you go. You can go and visit that.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, look
what
at
is
that
it?
Is that modern art?
It's modern.
money well spent. Is
yeah, exactly. That's exactly why you pay your taxes, so you can build monstrosities like that.
If they hadn't have made that, then they wouldn't have used up their budget, and so it would have got taken away the next year. It's like when I used to work at a school, and I remember every year, suddenly, for no apparent reason, the boss would just go, right, we're buying some more computers. We don't need any. There's only three of us in the department.
Stack them over there.
I don't care. We need to spend it all. They'll take it away.
I know of a school in North Wales that spent £10,000 last year on a landscape gardener just so they justified their budget.
Wow, we've taken some interesting tangents, haven't we? Anyway, so yeah, I'll probably crash in Newport somewhere or South Wales or a full day in Leicester just to soak up the pre-game atmosphere. Anyway,
there you go.
But that's not important. What's important is the fact that there's a game on and Leicester, again, will win.
Yeah, that is not an important game either.
It's not an important game. Well,
Treviso for me.
Yeah, Paul Fife, however, gets a bit tastier with
Bath. They're not completely out of it. So Wasps are on 14, Toulouse on 12, Bath are on 9 points. So two wins for Bath could see them through. It could take them to 19 points, which is a potential runner-up spot, depending on what happens with Wasps and Toulouse.
Right, so they've still got to be going for
Turtle
it.
So Bath will go for it.
Yeah, because of course Wasps could lose.
Yeah,
easily.
Mm. Yeah, Wasps lose to Toulon. Bath get a 5-point win. Wasps lose to Toulon. Bath level with Wasps with a game to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That second place is going to be hard to achieve.
Yes.
One of the best scoring runner-ups.
It is, but it's possible.
And then in the Rugby Challenge Cup, NSI, Newcastle, another Glamatai, Brieve, Connacht.
I'm amazed that you're not working for NSI.
Calvisano, Montpellier, Gloucester, La Rochelle, Worcester, Zebre.
Now, NSI, when Connacht went out there, they were stranded for like 4 or 5 days out there, weren't they?
NSI sounds like some sort of cop drama you find on Sky.
Have you seen?
I just keep thinking of, isn't it National Savings?
NSNI.
Oh, NSI. National Savings.
I'm thinking of CSI. On Sky.
Have you seen where NSI's stadium is?
It's in NSI, right?
I've got Google Maps up here, so I'm going to slowly zoom out.
Yeah. NSI have chalked up a win. They're one of the few.
They could be a force at home. I mean, it's so far to get there. And when you get there, it's minus 86.
But it's a proper lads on tour after that game, isn't it?
I'm not sure there is anywhere to do that.
The interesting pool in the Challenge Cup is where it's very, very even is the London Irish Edinburgh pool. So it's London Irish Grenoble are top with 14 points. London Irish and Edinburgh second equal with 12 points. So London Irish Grenoble is well worth keeping an eye on in the if you're going to keep an eye on the Challenge Cup. Otherwise, it's
which I won't be. So don't worry about it.
And on to Sunday then, where we have pool three: Racing, Scarlets. You think Racing at home dominate?
Yes, Racing definitely.
Northampton, Glasgow, in the same pool in pool three.
I've just found the real NSI stadium.
Oh, yeah,
my God, it is in the middle of nowhere.
It is further east than India. It's further east than the eastmost tip of India.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's, what's the scale on this? It's probably 1,000 kilometres north of Mongolia in just deepest, darkest central Russia.
Wow.
Yes.
How do they do their league rugby in Russia?
Don't know. Apparently NSI have got most of the national team, though. That's
yeah,
what I understand.
They have got a lot of national players. I think there's kind of two main... Is it one of the Moscow or St. Petersburg? And then NSI is the two main teams.
Good on the old oligarchs, chucking their money about.
Yeah.
Northampton, Glasgow. I think Saints will win this at home.
Yeah, yeah. And how are Saints placed currently? They're in second behind Racing. And again, two wins for Saints. Then they'll be pushing for that runners-up spot.
Yeah. And pool five, this is a tasty one. 3:15 kickoff on Sunday. So Sunday you've got Racing Scarlets, then you've got Toulon Wasps in pool five. I see Toulon winning that one again.
Yes.
Yes.
And that could pretty much end Wasps' challenge, because they're not going to get one of the best second place spots if they lose against Toulon.
They could still do it because they'd be on 14 points, but again, it's tough. It's tough.
If they win it, they're almost certainly through.
Yeah.
And they've got form against Toulon.
Absolutely.
They smashed them last time.
And they know the formula.
I think they have the formula, because that Toulon team is so heavy. Now, without Christian Wade, you're asking a big ask. But...
And if Nathan Hughes is missing,
yeah,
then I think they've got no chance.
That's the fixtures for this weekend.
It is.
God, we've got through a lot there, boys. So Eddie Jones's England squad will come out on Wednesday. If you hear this before then and you think we've got it completely wrong, then get your word in early doors.
I guarantee we've got it completely wrong.
Oh, I'm sure.
I guarantee you we've got it completely wrong.
My objective was not to guess what Eddie Jones is going to do. It was to pick what I would do.
I guarantee we'll have at least 20 players correct.
I guarantee that as well.
Yeah, okay.
Because he can only make 10 changes.
Yeah, okay.
At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter, and we'll catch you there. Leave your reviews on iTunes and subscribe on iTunes and listen on Acast. Nice one, Phil.
Thank you, Tim.
Nice one, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
I know you were out buying baby stuff earlier, before the podcast. When's the baby due? We should let our listeners know in case a baby drops.
Thursday.
What?
And it's not just due on Thursday. It's
delivered.
It's being
right. It's
the sunroof.
It's not RoboCop.
The sunroof is being opened up.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. So there we go. That will be that.
So what are we doing next weekend?
We're doing a podcast. Well, no, it'll be a bit later because I've got my level 2 RFU level 2 final day. So
priorities.
Yep.
So this is the last time we're going to pod with only me as a father. You're going to be a dad this time next week.
I mean, I suspect Phil could be a father. He just doesn't know it.
Yeah, as far as I'm aware.
As far as we're aware.
He has put it about a bit as well.
Exactly.
I wouldn't say that.
That is scandalous. That is scandalous.
I like how you agreed first and then backtracked, JV. All right. Well, we'll leave it on that slanderous note and say thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
Nice one, JB.
Bye bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Awesome, it's Sammy, boy. Awesome.